scions in Jekyll Island, they get together and they rig the elections. And it's all done with money, and it's all done with setting people up for power. Is it all a sham? Is it hopeless? Why bother? How come some people are activists? What makes some people get active? For whatever reasons, they get active about stuff. They get active about what have you, about the sleeping ban, about rent control, about abortion, you name it. There are those that get active. They get active about stuff, active about beach flats being developed or not being developed, about logging, about the environment, about this, about that. Why do some people get active and some don't? 423-5361. Did you vote in the last election? Do you think that democratic access is a fraud? Free radio, you're on the air. Hi. Hello, free radio. Yeah. What's that? Yeah, hi. Yeah, hi, Donna. Okay. Well, what do you say? What is it in your mind, in your opinion? Okay. Which is what? Give it your own words. Won't there always be authority, hierarchy, power? How could they do that? Yeah, are you coming over the air? Yeah, because it's not showing up on the dial here. Yeah. I'm winging it today, having never been in here before in this particular studio. Well, thank you, Donna. I'll tell you what, call back. Let me see if I can get this going. Will you call back? All right, thank you. Some technical difficulties here. And 423-5361, please bear with me. I mean, I seem to have this slider all the way up, but for some reason that call didn't come in. I didn't see the dials moving at all. But at any rate, authority. How can you have a complex society without having authority? Not everybody can call every shot. There has to be a hierarchy. In order to have a Mars rover, in order to have electricity, in order to have anything virtually beyond picking berries and hunting, hunter-gatherer type stuff. Don't you agree with that? We're stuck if we're going to have a complex society, and I don't think most of us want to give up complex societies and the comforts that come with it and the benefits and the perks. If we're going to have a complex society, we're going to have authority. That doesn't mean that authority has to be ruthless and brutal and crass. However, if we look at what the human condition tends to revere, and not just the upper classes, it has always interested me why it is that the general populace tends to believe that if you're wealthy, that your opinions are somehow better, that you are somehow or other a better authority on things. 4235361. What is politics? Are you an anti-authoritarian? Do you not believe in authority? Do you believe that authorities should all be eliminated, like the Romanovs, right, in the Russian Revolution? Kill the Romanovs and all of our problems are solved, right? And what happens? What happens is you put all your eggs in one basket, which is basically what practical communism has done in our century. Put all your eggs in one basket. There's no way to disagree with the ruling class. And so they become brutally ruthless, more ruthless than anything that came before them. There's nobody to challenge Stalin, any of these clowns, basically. They get in power, and you either agree with them or you're dead. You're off to some gulag somewhere you're never heard of again. This is the way of life. Historically, in the Middle Ages, peasants, when they did speak out, were drawn and quartered in the town square, were terrorized. The populations were terrorized into submission. There is a very beautiful history of peasant revolts human beings looking at what they do to each other that has brought us to the present period, where we still exploit, I think, very brutally. We do the same things that we've always done. I mean, the human condition is what it is. Human beings have favorable brain-to-body weight ratio and opposing thumbs, just like they did thousands of years ago. But what we do now is we distance ourselves from what we exploit. We do it in Guatemala, we do it in China, we do it in Malaysia. And we justify it. They're different, they don't know any better. They have a wood floor on their hovel, right? So this great factory that we've built in Guatemala, for which the peasants can work 60 hours a week to make, I don't know, what, $8 a week or something. We're doing them a favor. So there's all kinds of justifications. 4235361. Will things ever change? Or is it hopeless? It's hopeless. Whenever someone gets power, they become corrupt. Is that the way it is? 4235361. And there's really no way to eliminate power, to eliminate authority, or is there? Do you think that authority can be eliminated? Everybody can be involved in group decisions, and we can have like a co-op or some kind of an anarchistic society or whatever the ideal is that you hold dear. Is that how it is? How do you figure it is? Did you vote the last time? What do you think about the electoral process in America? Do you think that it's as good as it could get? Is it improving or is it getting worse? I think, in my opinion, one of the bigger problems or dilemmas is that nobody wants to be wrong. And so, unless I shouldn't say nobody, most of us are afraid of being wrong. And because of that, we tend to deny our role, our accountable role, in this process, the citizen access process called democracy. So we don't participate because we don't want to be wrong. And we're afraid of being disfellowshipped or excluded from our friends, right? So we tend to have group opinions, and we tend to migrate towards these group opinions, and we take them blindly on faith. Well, in my opinion, it's been my experience, that every individual is unique in some way, and no two people are going to have the same point of view. Even like on an issue of what is politics, it's very fascinating when people feel comfortable opening up that there is a highest common denominator that is expressed by the human condition. All right, and I think part of that is that we learn to tolerate different points of view, we learn to compromise, We learn about acceptance. We learn about imperfection. We learn about ambiguity, stuff like that. Now, if we can't handle ambiguity, and if you have to have all the answers, then what, basically what you are, you know, just a general third person you, is a dictator. So a lot of people who call themselves, in some cases, anti-authoritarian, are very authoritarian. You either agree with them or you're out of there. There are certain political organizations right here in this very hip community called Santa Cruz that if you don't agree with them across the board with these enormous slates, you're out of there. It's this massive groupthink. So deception, right? Well, we can deceive because we the chosen embody righteousness and bear witness to divine plan. So it's okay for us to deceive, right? We know better. And we simply have to be able to deceive because otherwise they would have power. Right? So we'll all get together and we'll agree on these vast slates. And no two human beings are going to agree on stuff like that across the board, in my opinion. 423-5361 is the number. And please do call, because I do want to figure out how to use the phone call-in system here. So what do you think? Do you have a copy of the Constitution? You ever looked at it? The Constitution. Congress, this is Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Now, it doesn't say that you're going to be successful in your petition, and I think, generally speaking, at least as I look at history, when you come at the status quo from the outside as an activist, well, let's just say this, there's two kinds I'm being very simplistic here. There's two kinds of actions. There's establishment-style action, which is from the inside, and there's activist-style action from the outside. If you become powerful enough as an activist, and if you do not go along with the establishment, I think historically speaking, it can be said that you're neutralized at a certain point. The establishment does not tolerate outside influence past a certain point. And I think history bears that true. 423-5361. That doesn't mean that one should not be an activist. In fact, I think in many ways activism is where it's at. I think that activism provides for a expression of cultural importance that rarely comes from establishment interests, because the establishment interests, whatever they want to call themselves, are going to protect themselves, including in Santa Cruz. You ever read The Sleeping Band? You ever read this thing, The Santa Cruz Sleeping Band? You know, like I was saying at the beginning of the show, I'm trying to figure out when I met Robert Norris. And it was sometime in the early 90s, between 92 and 94. And he was always talking about The Sleeping Band. And I saw this thing finally. There was a vigil in front of City Hall. I believe the year was 97, March 1st of 97. And Robert Norris had a little booth set up in front of the vigil. And he had copies of this thing. I have a copy of it with me right now. And I look at this thing. The first time I saw this, it's like it's unbelievable that it would actually be a law, that there would actually be an ordinance that has the language that this thing has. And there is such a vested interest in protecting this ordinance that it is very difficult to challenge it, because what one sees is that one goes up against the establishment. And I don't mean that in any negative way necessarily. Nothing necessarily wrong with an establishment. We have to have some kind of established order in order to have continuity in society and all this stuff, right? 423-5361 is the phone number here. What is politics? In your opinion, what is politics? Or is it all a waste of time? The thing you do is to go up to Tahoe and hang out. And the hell with all this politics stuff. All it does is it makes you cynical and bitter, which I don't happen to agree with. I think that if you can't have a couple of laughs, it's not worth it. Anyhow, the existing sleeping ban, this is the Santa Cruz City Ordinance now, 6.36.010, camping prohibited. And in section A here, it says, sleeping, 11 p.m. to 8:30 a.m. To sleep at any time between the hours of 11 p.m. and 8:30 a.m. in any of the following places. And section 1 says, outdoors, with or without bedding. Did you want to be on the air?
Sure.
Okay. Al,
what's
this is
politics?
Al.
What's politics? Politics is humans relating.
Humans relating? Yeah, I'll go with that, Al. I hope you're coming in over the air.
I know that. We're having problems.
Yeah, I mean.
The woman that was on Donna, she didn't come through.
I mean the slider is all the way up. I wish.
The first one came through.
Yeah.
And then it got
Marco.
Yeah, Marco came through. I can't figure this out. I don't know why it's not. I mean, I can certainly hear you now, right?
But I'm not sure if I'm.
You're not.
Yeah,
you're not coming in. I wish one of the free radio people would call in and give me some advice on how to get it going properly. Say something, see if it comes in over the air.
Okay, politics is human relationship.
Yeah, I think it's barely coming in. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead. So politics is human relations. Okay.
On the full spectrum of how humans relate. All of it.
Is it hopeless?
What is hopeless?
Well, that's a good point.
Asking is hopeless.
What's that?
I'm not understanding your question.
Do you think that exploitation will ever be eliminated from the human condition?
What is exploitation? And what is the human condition?
Good questions. Exploitation is one human being taking undue advantage of another economically. And the human condition is the state of being who we are.
Well, if it's been done before, it's going to be done again. Because human nature is human nature. And the question is, how much opposition or reacting to whatever question or, you know, statement is taking place, whether any or none. But the same human nature will always be applied in reality. So, in other words, if exploitation is possible, then it will happen again, and happens at any time. It's a matter of, you know, that's a given. It's what anyone does about it. In other words, it's like, hey, you know, is anybody going to drink water again? Sure. See, in other words, the clock isn't going to strike 12 and everybody will be totally positive. That's not human nature.
Let's take a real basic physical reality. Do you think that there will ever come a point in time where human beings somewhere on the planet will not starve?
No, well, see, that's a very technical question. What if there is a natural disaster in one area? You see,
This
really cannot be answered because the context is too broad.
Well, here it is, I guess, to me.
Just are you talking about one person? Are you talking about, you know, thousands of people? Because, you see, there is too much involved. You have to be more precise.
All right. In this way, it seems that we have adequate resources and adequate productive capability.
On the planet?
Yes.
Are you speaking globally?
Globally, Al.
That's correct.
Okay. That we could, if desired, redirect our resources so that nobody starved, so that there was food, clothing, shelter, healthcare, education for everybody.
That is already happening, more or less. When there is famines, you know, basic relief has taken place. Now, how good it is, how much, you know, people exploit off of that, and how much actually gets to the people at certain times, see, there again, this is the context I was talking about. But when there was the big famine in Ethiopia, for instance, a while ago, you know, relief goes there. You know, and then you got some of the leaders probably funneling off some of it. Look at Saddam Hussein. They said today that he's refusing, you know, free aid. He doesn't, they don't need it. He's calling for, instead of free aid, you know, for the countries to pretty much, you know, help, quote, them or him, you know, to get rid of the sanctions against his existence.
Yeah. It is interesting that the human condition does reinvent itself, and those power
relationships... They reprocreate itself.
Yeah, yes. Those power relationships, they just seem to be part of the picture. The names
change. Of course
change,
they are.
The names change, but the setups are the same. You have incredibly powerful people at the very top squeezing everybody else.
Well, not everybody. That's
all right.
I don't like that, everybody. Look, you take a small group of people, like tribes. There's always a hierarchy within a tribe. Okay? Sometimes, you know, a small tribe cleans itself up, or it doesn't. Because not everyone in that tribe is not benefiting from the current setup. And if too many people are not benefiting, then they may do something about it.
Yeah, good
point. But
that's
just common sense.
So, brutal repression, therefore, only lasts so long.
Well, it depends. There again, it's a matter of context. I mean, how... It depends on how brutal.
Yes.
See, take some of these, really totalitarian countries. A lot of times, like you were mentioning earlier, okay, if you have a very, totalitarian setup, probably half of the population of that setup is benefiting from it. In other words, I know for a fact that the USSR, definitely half of the population benefited in a good, positive, and, monetary, you know, pleasing way from that setup.
Are people paid to look the other way? The average person in any society, what we call consumerism today, the average person is paid to look the other way. Would you agree with that?
No. They're not paid. They're, see that statement, paid, okay? Let's just say they're being, they're being pacified.
Okay.
Not paid, but pacified. They're having desires met. And the key to all of that is, of course, and this is what, you know, philosophers and all these, what that is about is determining what is a higher ideal. You know, what desires are better than others. For instance, you know, when one becomes, 20 years ago it was followed, you know, the Hindu guru, and a lot of that was for, you know, disciples to give up material goods.
One of the things that's been getting me lately is that if we believe, or I'll say if I believe in the democratic process and citizenship and in the vote, then contempt for the mainstream is not going to get one anywhere.
No, because the mainstream is,
yes,
democracy.
Yes.
Always.
Yes.
Look, democracy is even, the USSR was democracy. Do you understand? Because the apparatus that was suppressing was a vast human numbered apparatus, and they all agreed on what they were going to do.
I also think that...
Yeah, do you see my point?
Yes,
this is a,
yes.
This is a very, you know, arcane point I'm trying to make.
They're collaborative.
It's collaboration,
yes,
on all levels. Yes. It's already democracy. Yes. Now, look, because not everyone in a democracy can win.
Yes, it's a good
in
point.
Other words,
yes,
the classic sense, you know, it's only giving somebody... a chance to vote for something, but there's no guarantee you're going to win your thing, and so what?
Right, right. The other thing, too, that strikes me in the 90s lately is life is vast and insecurity is common. There's nothing necessarily wrong with a house and a car and money to raise a family and dental plans and this kind of stuff. And generally speaking, when you participate along that level, one tends to look the other way out of fear of outcome.
Well, that's because owning a house means that you have to be very well connected within the American system. And it may not be that one is actually looking the other way, but one cannot but see the functionality of what it takes to have that house and have gotten that house to be a fact.
I'll go with that, yeah, yeah. And
I mean, see, the point is for anyone right now to get a house and not have any money. See, like any kind of a basic domicile that is not owned by someone else. In other words, there should be the right to basic land. In other words, the key is not, you know, let's just say I'm totally poor. For me, you know, to want the great American dream. No. Okay? Basically what it means, I want to be able to live in a very basic way. In other words, I don't have to have new furniture, you know, I don't have to have the latest brand new car, I don't have to have any of this. Basically what I'm saying is necessary is to have the basic human dignity, and that it cannot always 100% under force be based on, okay, the profit system. See, in other words, sure, if somebody, you know, owns a house and they want to rent it out, okay, you should not be forced to have to rent a landlord's house. In other words, humans are very capable, if they're given a chance, to be self-sufficient. Now, of course, we have to quantify that to what standard that is, but as human dignity, people must be given a basic chance of surviving on their own. See, and this goes back to what you said earlier. If a pre-consisting condition exists that you have to overthrow, okay, with force, then it's obvious that pre-consisting a condition, because it already existed and it's part of human nature, is going to appear again. So you constantly have to have a police state to suppress what is inevitable.
Do you think it's possible that certain aspects of the human condition can become so publicly shameful that they would not be practiced? Is
yes,
that maybe a
it
way?
It already has happened. And this a good example of that was the Civil War in America. The outcry against the vileness and the ugliness of slavery was very prevalent in America. That was a fact. Now, the argument, you know, whether the Civil War was, you know, in a goody-goody fashion, only fought, you know, over the, you know, the poor slaves, this is a totally other matter. But the, you know, but socially, there was a, you know, because not every human wants to be a slave owner. They you know, they cop to the reality that it's an ugly thing. And of course, human nature and some others, you know, want that because they get off on the exploiting of it. But it's, I would say that it is always, human nature is always the same. And all throughout history, the types of being and the segments of being, you know, and the stratifications of being, they readjust itself.
Yeah, as long as the average human being reveres greed and wealth,
nothing substantial is going to ever change. We might change the labels and the names.
No, but wait a minute. See, there again.
In my opinion, it's a values issue.
This is the last of a statement that doesn't work. I
The call-in line seems to fade in and out, Al. I can barely hear you. But, Al, thanks for the call. Let's see if we can get other callers going, and maybe this phone thing will settle out. Al, thank you. All right. Hey, please do call 423-5361 and bear with the technology. So what do you think? Is it hopeless? Will anything really change? Do we want change? And what would the change be? Would it be just a change of names, the ideology, the names that we call things would change? Would anything really change? Can anything really change? Is it possible that we could live, let's just say, those of us listening are going to live another, let's say 30 years, let's say to the year, let's say 2030. Do you think that things are going to change substantially by the year 2030? In any real way? Or will it just be maybe our labels will change and the technologies will change, the economies of scale will change? But nothing really will change because the human condition remains what it is. And is it wrong to have one's act together, to be effective, to be organized? And should not being organized and being logistically inclined and being innovative, shouldn't that be compensated more than not? Is it possible that we could ever have a society, it would even be desirable, where everybody would be equally compensated? I read a story about Pol Pot, right, and one of his lieutenants had this thing about tin roofs, and he felt that because everybody didn't have a tin roof, nobody should have a tin roof. Is that the way you feel? Or is it possible that maybe the way that it is that there will always be gradients of wealth and poverty? Maybe we can lop off the very bottom of the poor end of the scale. Maybe not. Maybe there is much wisdom in the phrase, the poor you will always have. 423-5361. Do you think that it is desirable that people become more politically conscious? Or will it always be a relatively small faction, which there seems to be historically, there always is this faction of activism. And history, going back once again, the Middle Ages, those that spoke out, if you said the king is an idiot publicly, what would happen would they'd make a public display of your death. You would be drawn and quartered in the town square. You'd be thrown to the lions, something like that. You'd be tortured. And it would tend to chill out the next generation. People wouldn't step out of line. This is who we are. Who we are. We come out of a history of brutal, vicious, wicked torture for power. And it strikes me once again, and I tend to agree with Al, that maybe using my own words, when the tables are turned and different people have power, they become just as ruthless as those that preceded them. 423-5361. What is politics? Do you believe in classes? Are there classes of human beings? Right, there's the proletariats, and there's the bourgeois, and there's this, and there's that, right? People hang out in classes. Do you hang out in country clubs? Do you know anybody that goes to the Pajaro Valley Country Club? Do you think country clubs are bad? Is it wrong for people to network with their associates, their cronies, their pals? And, you know, informal networking, when we get together and we network, we're bound to tilt our decisions towards our pals, don't you think? That's kind of natural, I would believe. So whatever we have on paper, right, about equality and all this stuff, which I think are nice concepts, they're not going to bear fruit in perfection. It's not possible. The human condition being imperfect. 4235361. So in your opinion, what is politics? Nickel and dime word. Here every day, politics. Politics this, politics that. Or is it a waste of time to even contemplate and publicly discuss these kinds of issues? This is exactly the reason why Free Radio Santa Cruz ought to be removed from the airwaves. Merely to voice such an opinion that is not qualified by some establishment platform is enough to justify 10 goons knocking at the door. 4235361. Obviously. Don't you agree? Or is there already enough political education out there? People know what they know. They don't need to know anymore. And in fact, people feel quite often that they're being pushed. If you ask someone, what is politics? They think that you work for the CIA or something. You ask such questions. 4235361. Who do you think you are? What is politics? Politics. Power relationships between human beings. It's incredible what human beings have done, don't you think? Boys and girls, you know. It's incredible what we've done with our opposing thumbs and our favorable brain to body weight ratio. We have Mars rovers, right? Moon landers, the internet, radio, telephones, all kinds of gizmos and stuff, chairs, electric lights. It's pretty incredible what human beings have done in a relatively short space of time, really. However far back you want to see the civilization goes. Maybe it's your sense that civilization itself is the problem, and that what we need to do is to go back completely to the land, right? Eliminate all technological advantage. Maybe you're into levers and stuff, but beyond basic tools, everything should be destroyed. 4235361. I think what technology changes is merely the scale. Just like atomic bombs. Atomic bombs change the economy of scale. It wasn't any prettier a couple thousand years ago when Genghis Khan swept through a village and terrorized and tortured and pillaged and raped and plundered. I mean, that certainly wasn't comfortable. So what we have now is we have a different economy of scale. I think a good argument can be made, in my opinion, 4235361 being the number here, a good argument can be made that we ought to consider it a blessing that the United States of America ended up with the power that it has. Imagine if the tables had been turned 50-odd years ago after the outcome of World War II, how different the world would be. What other country in the world is worthy of this power? Or should even the United States give up its vast arsenal? 4235361. Are you in favor of the Pakistani bomb? Free radio, you're on the air. Hello? I can barely hear you. Hello? Yeah, I can hear you on the phone, but not on the radio. It's just not coming over. Is this Donna again? Yeah, sorry, Donna. But go ahead, speak loud. Yeah. Yeah, the dials aren't moving at all when you talk. It's just not coming across. Donna, I really apologize. All right. In fact, I'm going to play a song and see if I can get one of the more familiar types of free radio to call in and give me some instructions. Okay? Thank you much. Talk to you later. Hey, sorry about that. It's a technical glitch here, right? I've got the slider all the way to the top. I'm going to play a piece of music, in a little bit and see if I can figure out some stuff. Maybe I can and maybe I can't. But you're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, and I'm going to play a song, and I'll be back on shortly. The struggle, and I get all the class. Are we on the air here? Yes, I guess we are. Hi, this is Bob LaMonica again. And I do hope somebody tries to call again. What it seems to be is that the phone slider over-modulates or something to that effect. And so I think there's probably a way to adjust it that it'll work correctly. So give it a try, and eventually it'll work out. And bear with me. I have never worked with this equipment before, and doing my best. It's not good enough for today, but bear with me. 423-5361. What is politics? And class struggle. Class struggle, right? You do all the struggle and I get all the class. Is that the way it is? Could it really ever be different? What is it about people, average people, that they just think that the British royals are such a big deal? What is it about the royals? Who cares about the royals? Why are the royals a big deal? Why don't we look at history and we look at the castles in Europe? Why isn't it obvious that the only way you could have a castle is if you were to brutally and viciously exploit people for generations? That's how one accumulated those kinds of resources. And that wasn't some kind of a Western gig, by the way. The Chinese dynasties weren't created by Europeans. Nor was Machu Picchu built by Europeans. This is a universal human condition trait. 423-5361 is the number here, and you might want to call and get on the air if you did so choose. You could call 423-5361. What is politics? Politics. Power relationships among human beings. You know, even insects. When the queen is born, it kills the other potential queens so that it can reign supreme without any threats, any challenges to its supremacy. So this is the way of life, right? Struggle. Struggle and supremacy and dominance. Dominance. Somebody dominates.